safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Happy Mother's Day. Good to have you with us. Thank you so much for listening today. If you had the opportunity to spend time with your mom, or if you have kids and your kids were able to be with you, especially if they're grown now and launched and chose to come back for Mother's Day, I know it probably, I hope, was just a blessed day for you. And it's funny because all four of our adult children came to see us. They all live in other locations, and they came to see us this weekend. I had a concert that I was singing in. I was just one of the backup singers in the chorus, but they all came to see me sing, which was really fun, especially, like I say, because I didn't have any kind of a standout role. My daughter, Addie, who came in from Minneapolis, said, I had this reverse parental pride. I was like, there she is, and look, she's dancing. It was kind of very silly and very fun. But I have to say that, you know, around the table, one of the questions was, well, what's the best Mother's Day gift you got? Which put me on the spot a little bit because suddenly I couldn't remember anything that the kids had done for me through the years. But I was able to say, and it really was true, that simply being with them was such a huge gift. Simply having them want to come back and spend time with us now that they're grown is just enormously gratifying and just gave me all kinds of joy this weekend. And it makes me think of James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And I love the follow-up verse, too. It says, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created. And I don't know if you had a Mother's Day that perhaps was not a joy-filled day, if you had a Mother's Day that was perhaps reminding you of grief at the loss of your mother, if your mother has passed away, at the loss of motherhood, if you have experienced abortion or miscarriage or stillbirth or infant death, or the death of a child of any age. Mother's Day can be one of the saddest days we can think of. But I love this. I love this from our Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes from Him, and He is the one who chose to give us birth, and to our children, no matter how long or short their lives have been. And I pray that that word from the Scriptures gives you comfort tonight. I pray that that ministers to your heart, and that we can I just go a little bit deeper with the Lord into that place where we find that peace that passes understanding. And we truly are consoled. That's my prayer for you tonight. I also hope that you'll be able to stay with us through the program, because I am just thrilled to bring you our guest tonight, Kirk Walden. And Kirk is my husband was asking me, Bruce was asking me on the way out, well, who's your guest, you know, what's going on tonight? And I said, we got a rainmaker. And I don't know if that's a fair assessment. We'll ask Kirk, who's joining us now. He's a man whose time as executive director of a pregnancy resource center led him to help now many, many centers assist with development, communication, vision casting, and through his consulting and keynote presentations, the reason I say he's a rainmaker, he's played a major role in raising more than $25 million for America's pregnancy health centers. And Kirk, that's a lot of banquets. That's a lot of chicken dinners that you have presided over through the years. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Well, it's great to be here, Kim, and I tell you, it's great to be a part of those events, as you are as well, and you and I both know that those type of events are the foundation for these centers and their growth, and they are doing some great things, as we both know, and it's just a joy to be a part of it. And I don't know about rainmakers or anything like that, but I do know that it's in both of our hearts, and it's a great honor to be a part of all of those events. And seeing, I'll be in Pittsburgh this week, and I was thinking it's my last time I'll get to go out this spring, and I'm going to miss it for a couple of months till we start back up in the fall. But it's great to be with you tonight.
So, Kirk, how did you get drawn into this? I know, you know, every year when I go to the Pregnancy Resource Center annual conferences, I meet new friends, and it's always very, very inspiring. But there's always a lot of estrogen in the room. There were a lot of women who are executive directors called into that position, and that makes sense. We're talking, you know, about women with pregnancy issues. But not as many men take on that role of executive director. How did you get involved?
Well, I know exactly what you mean. I did not grow up thinking I'd be a part of this, that's for sure. I grew up dreaming of being a professional golfer. That's what I wanted to do. And I, you know, through high school and college golf and all those things, that's what I thought I was going to do. But I was 18 years old, a freshman in college, and a couple of pastors began talking about the sanctity of life and what that meant. And I began just getting interested in the whole topic. And before I knew it, I thought I'm going to get involved in the political realm, I get involved in public policy and those sorts of things. But it was when I was 28 years old, my professional golf career did not take off as I had hoped, but I'm glad it didn't today. But 28 years old, the director of a center in Auburn, Alabama, was leaving and asked if I would consider putting my name in for that position, and I did. And as you mentioned earlier, I was director of a center, and it was 9.5 years there, and it just caught me. And I haven't let go since, because I just see the importance of it, and I really believe that it's pregnancy centers where we're going to find, I think, victory as in love we reach out to win the battle of life. And so that's kind of how I got started. It wasn't my plan, but it's where I am now, and it's where I believe I'm going to be for quite a long time.
So I want to give you the chance to cast this vision of the wall of hope. Kirk Walden is our guest tonight, and he's written a book called The Wall, and we'll talk about that. And in fact, I have some complimentary copies for you as our listeners, if you would like to join us with a question or comment. 800-811-3003 is our number. We're live tonight on Mother's Day, this 11th day of May in 2014. 800-811-3003 for your question or comment on the air for our guest, Kirk Walden. But Kirk, before we get to casting that vision, let's talk about what you learned during that 9 years. Maybe what was the most surprising thing? I mean, did you know about what was going on inside the walls of a pregnancy resource center, or, you know, what? How did that really open your eyes?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kim, because I did not know much. I was a financial supporter of the ministry, and just going through the interview process, I told the folks on the board, I told them two things. I said, there are two things I don't do well, because they asked what my weaknesses were, and I said, one is public speaking, and two is fundraising, and I know you need both of those, and that's just not my gift, not my thing. But as I walked in the door, I began to see that if we were looking for the front line and reaching out with the love of Christ to those facing this situation, if I was looking for the front line, and I'd been praying, said, Lord, put me on the front line, and I thought it might be politics, public policy, whatever, but once I walked in that door, I said, this is the front line, because this is where people are struggling with this decision as to whether to carry a baby to term or not. And they're battling, and I began to see a whole other side. It was easy for me politically to say, this is a wrong thing or whatever. But when I sat down across from somebody struggling with that decision, that was the most surprising thing to me, is to sit down and talk to somebody who's hurting, who's alone and afraid and saying, I just don't think I have any other option but to end this pregnancy. And I began to see that was, I think, the most surprising thing, because it really opened my eyes. Because before, for me, it was all theoretical. But when you're across the room from somebody or sitting next to somebody who's dealing with this, a young man, a young lady, you understand why somebody would say, you know, I just didn't know what else to do. And so that, I think that was the most surprising thing to me.
You know, and it's, I would just want to underline this. These young people are not, and it's not always young people, but the people confronted with these complex situations are not thinking about the policy questions. They are not concerning themselves with, even in my case, Kirk, when I made that decision, it was not even a moral choice. I listened to the rhetoric, which said, you know, not a baby, not a child, not life. And that made it very easy to not have it be a moral consideration. But the last thing on my mind was a political conversation or policy.
Exactly. And that's what I want to help people understand, because a lot of people who consider themselves strongly pro-life or whatever have not been able to stop and say, can you put yourselves in the shoes just for a moment of somebody who is scared to death with the idea of carrying a little life for 9 months and giving birth to that child and thinking, what in the world do I do? There's nobody here to support me. Nobody here to help me. Have we heard that voice before we speak so strongly? And I'm not saying I'm not strongly pro-life. I absolutely am. But it helps to listen to that voice. And I think it changes the way we speak. It changes the way we view this situation. And you're right. It's not a political issue to that young lady or young man. It's just pain and fear is what it is, and so many other emotions that are running through at that time. And that's why I have stayed with pregnancy centers. This was 1991 when I became the director there, and now I've been working with centers, or either been a director or working with centers for 23 years, and I'm not going anywhere, because this is where the answer is. It's when we're able to reach out with the love of Christ and say, guess what? We're going to walk with you through this time. We will not let you go. And I don't know about your particular situation, but there are so many who have come to me and said later, if only I had somebody somewhere who would say that and grab my hand and say, we're going to do this together, the outcome would have been far different.
Yes, I absolutely would put myself in that category. Our guest tonight is Kirk Walden, and we'll continue after a short break. Our phones are open. If you'd like a copy of Kirk's book, The Wall, join us, 800-811-3003. Phones are open.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Our guest tonight is Kirk Walden. He's the author of The Wall, and it reflects what he has learned while working in the pregnancy help movement, first as an executive director of a center, and now helping centers around the world to assist with their development, fundraising, communication, vision casting. And the work that you are putting together in this book, The Wall, is based in the biblical story, a historical account of Nehemiah. Tell us about the inspiration for that, and just bring the word to us on this subject, if you will, Kirk, tonight.
Well, what I like about Nehemiah, Kim, is that this is a guy, he didn't get a burning bush call or anything like that, but instead he simply had a heart for his people. You know, the people of Israel had been invited to move back into Jerusalem after their Babylonian captivity, but it had been 93 years, and the wall of protection around them had not been rebuilt. And here was Nehemiah. Had a good job as a cupbearer to the king, somewhat dangerous, of course, but he could have said, no, I've got other things on my plate. I've got a good situation here. And he could have even, in a word, religified it and said, you know, God has me in a good place. I don't need to be going back there. But he had a heart for his people. And I think about us, especially in this country, and we have a heart for those. If we have a heart for those who are hurting in this situation, if we have a heart for the moms and dads and their children, we don't need a call. All we need to do is reach out to them. And Nehemiah built what I term a wall of hope for those people to come back who were coming back from the Babylonian captivity. And that wall was a wall of protection, and it provided hope for them that they could be a people once again. And I think about those facing unplanned pregnancies, and I say, you know, we need to build them a wall of hope and a wall of protection. Then when I started thinking about it, I thought, we've already got it halfway built. And it's pregnancy centers across this country, whether we call them crisis pregnancy centers, whether we call them pregnancy resource centers, whatever we call them, CareNet, Heartbeat, all these different centers, there are 2,500 of them across the country. And I believe we're building a wall of hope where people who are in this situation can run inside and be safe, and their children will be safe as well, because there are people out there who would love to profit off a decision to end that pregnancy, who are saying, just come in here and we can take care of it. Well, we're saying, come to our wall of hope. Come inside, and you're going to find a safe haven. And I believe that our wall right now, Kim, is at half its height. There's Nehemiah 4:6 says, and the wall was half its height because the people had a mind to work. And I think we began these centers in the early to mid-70s, maybe 200 of them by 1980, and now 2,500 of them today. I believe the people have a mind to work, but our wall is at half its height. And if we can get that wall to full height, the wall of hope, people will come inside and be safe. And I outline a plan how we can get that wall to full height in the book. If we can get it to full height, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I do know this, that if we become the first choice, if these pregnancy centers become the first choice for those facing that situation, they won't go to the second choice. They won't go to end that pregnancy, because 8 or 9 out of 10 women and men who come to a pregnancy center choose life. So I think the only thing that we're missing is becoming that first choice. When we're first, the second choice disappears. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm not here to harangue on abortion centers, we can save that for another day, but here's the deal. There, even the nonprofit ones have to make money to stay in business. And if people don't go there, they will close their doors. And that's why in 1980, there are more than 2,000 abortion centers around this country. And that's why tonight there are 786. Fewer people are going to these centers. And as fewer and fewer go, we're going to see more and more disappear until one day I really believe that as a matter of course, as a matter of real life, abortion could become obsolete in this country. It may remain legal, I don't know. And that's not my calling. My calling is to see these pregnancy centers become the first choice, the love of Christ go forth, and people choose life. I want to see our culture change, and I think that's how we're going to do it.
If you would like to get a copy of The Wall, and we have 3 copies for our first 3 callers with a comment or question for our guest tonight, the author, Kirk Walden, and you'll be challenged. You'll find out what your position is in building this wall. 800-811-3003, A Wall of Hope. 800-811-3003 is our number. You know, Kirk, I've heard your message. I've heard you give your keynote address. I'm sure you maybe have several that you adapt for different audiences, but as I listen to your vision and hear you speak about it tonight, I think about, you know, why there is another choice, given that, especially, you know, that this is a maturing ministry, although there are still a lot of people who don't know that pregnancy help centers exist.
Right.
There are a lot of churches that are clueless and are not supporting the local pregnancy centers as they should be, it could be. I didn't say clueless. I meant uninformed or perhaps ignorant of the mission going on all around them.
Yeah.
But you know, Planned Parenthood and others are in the public schools with a comprehensive sex ed curriculum starting in the elementary schools. And, you know, the teens who want to make that choice and get birth control know where they can go for that. And I think that's why they have become, or they hold whatever position of being a first choice if, you know, young adults are thinking about where to go for their reproductive health. So tell me about that. Tell me about, you know, facing that.
Yeah, how do we change that? I mean, that's a great question. I think one of the things that centers are beginning to do, you talked about the maturing process, and that is happening. Centers are providing ultrasound, of course. There are more than 1,000 centers across this country who can provide ultrasound at no charge for those facing an unplanned pregnancy so that a woman can make an informed choice. In fact, I want to back up just a second because you really have a twofold question there. But in one sense, when somebody's facing an unplanned pregnancy, the place not to go is a Planned Parenthood, because at the Planned Parenthood, they have a product they're trying to sell, and that is the termination of a pregnancy. Well, I think as pregnancy centers are maturing, they're learning to position themselves as a safe place. More and more are doing this. Look at the names that are changing around the country. When I was in the Collage Center in Nebraska not long ago, and I was at Clearway Clinic in Massachusetts just a couple of weeks ago, these kind of things where centers are understanding we need to be the safe place in the middle, because the perception of a woman and man facing this situation is, I've got two places to go. One is what they would term the pro-choice place, Planned Parenthood, where they'll give me an abortion. The other option from their perception is these pro-life people who are, in their eyes, because the media accounts and, well, the media presentation of who we are, they think pro-life people are crazy. They're scared of going to us, but they're also scared of going to an abortion center. But centers are rightly positioning themselves as a safe place where a woman can make an informed decision. I think this is beginning to really catch on and grow, because we aren't there tugging on people's legs and saying, please don't go to the abortion center. What we're doing is offering them a picture of their child. We're telling them how far along they are, what that means to them, and we're sharing the truth of what abortion is, not in graphic terms or anything like that, but we're simply stating the truth and the facts. And so people are thanking us for doing that at these centers. And they're saying, you know, this is the first place I've gone where nobody's judged me. Nobody's told me I'm a bad person, but they've simply loved me. And I think as centers grow up, we're seeing that happen more and more. And gradually we are beginning to become the first choice for many more. And a center director in Ohio emailed me and said, you know, our numbers kept going up. And then I read the paper, and the abortion center closed down for lack of patient volume. It was simply because they had become the first choice. And the clients who came in their door said, you know, this is a great place. These people care about us. And, in fact, I heard one client that had been to a Planned Parenthood say, you know, it was just dark there. They aren't – it's funny, because while Planned Parenthood on one hand is the first choice, in many cases – on the other, people are not totally comfortable with what they're offering and how they're offering it. They're looking for an alternative. And as centers grow up and become that alternative, the other part of your question, we need to provide STI, STD testing so that someone will come to us first before they're even pregnant, and we build a relationship with them. They may never become pregnant if they come to us first, because they're going to see another option besides birth control. They're going to see abstinence outside of marriage is a valid, strong, effective medical option and life choice that will influence their life for the better. So we're seeing that happen as well, with more and more centers offering this. So right now, you're right, Planned Parenthood is the first choice, but we're making inroads, and I believe in the next decade we can make enough inroads that Planned Parenthood is no longer the first choice. It becomes the second choice. And maybe it goes off the table altogether. That's what I believe we can do.
800-811-3003. Stay with us. Call and take a copy of Kirk Walden's book, The Wall, home with you tonight. 800-811-3003 is our number. We'd love to have your voice in our conversation here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003 with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Happy Mother's Day to you. I hope that it has been a blessed day. I know that Mother's Day can be a day that's more difficult if you are grieving the loss of your mother. Maybe there is a step family issue. You may have an issue of infertility or be childless by choice because of some issues or pain in your past. Many of the listeners of this program have been impacted by abortion, and so even though we're moms, Mother's Day can be a reminder that there is someone missing at the table. I pray that if there is an ache in your heart related to Mother's Day, that you'll allow God to come in with his comforting presence. Allow the love of Christ to heal that place in your heart. Begin to believe that it's possible that God not only has a pain in that purpose, but that he will restore, because that's who he is, and that's just how much he loves you. And I pray that you will find it today, too. I'm going to try to link for you tonight a really helpful article about when Mother's Day hurts that I came across on crosswalk.com. We'll put that up on our Facebook page tonight after the program. And you can always find us on Facebook at facebook.com/cradlemyheart. And I hope you'll go and like the page. That way you'll find out who our guests will be in the coming weeks and find lots of helpful resources about what's happening on the issues of the cause of building a culture of life and also healing and help after abortion. Just a quick program note for you, that coming up on May 18th, Becky Smith will be our guest. She has a dramatic story of how she became an executive director at a pregnancy help center. She was a recent psychology grad looking for a job. She said, you know, with an undergraduate degree in psychology and a quarter, you might get a cup of coffee. That was a long time ago. But anyway, so she answered an ad for a phone counseling job, not knowing that the facility she was going to work for was selling abortions on site. And so she had a very dramatic experience, trial by fire, learning what choice brings into the lives of the women who choose it, and just took the vision that God had given her and started a center in 1993. She's still at it, at the same that same organization, and is serving as executive director now 21 years later. You will be inspired by Becky Smith's story next week. Tonight we're talking with Kirk Walden, and it may not be that type of role for you in building a culture of life. Maybe you don't have the time or the wherewithal or the means or the resources to pursue opening up a center and becoming an executive director, but maybe you do have some hours a week to volunteer. Maybe you have a conversation with your pastor so that your church can become involved in supporting the local pregnancy resource center. There are lots and lots of ways that we can express how we feel on this issue of life and put meat on that, put our faith to work on it. And Kirk, I want to spend this next segment just talking about that, some ideas that you have for people to become involved in building the culture of life.
Well, and that's a great point, that our faith must work. James points that out. You were quoting him earlier in the program when you're just getting started, and I think that's exactly it. God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. We both know that, and I know our audience does as well. And I think sometimes we think, well, you know, I got to do something big. I got to do something major. How is one person going to make a difference? And the fact of the matter is, we can make an extraordinary difference if we just say, okay, Lord, use me in this way. In fact, my kind of life verse is Colossians 4:17, where Paul is talking about one guy. He says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry to which you are called in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And I think, well, this guy is only mentioned one other time in Scripture. I think in Philemon, he's mentioned as a fellow soldier in the Lord with a church in his home, and I think he's just a regular guy, just like us. And yet Paul makes a point to say, whatever it is God has called you to do, and I don't know what it is, it's not laid out for us in the Bible, but whatever it is, complete it. Pay attention to it and complete it. And I think when it comes to this issue, there are a few things that we can do to complete our mission. You mentioned a couple of them, which is maybe we've got some time to volunteer, and it doesn't take, we don't have to be great on the phone. We don't have to, we say, oh, I could not sit across from somebody facing that situation, and I don't know what I'd say. That's fine. If you don't think that's you, then there are so many other ways to be involved in administratively. We need to take these ministries to the next level. We need attorneys who are on board who can help us with all the legal issues that are involved with running a nonprofit. We need accountants. We need physicians. We need nurses. We need all of these professionals. We even need landscapers a lot of times, because these places, you know, we need to make a great first impression, and perhaps that's a gift that we've been used. Another one is construction. Who knows what they are? But there is a place for anyone in a pregnancy center if they're willing to do it. In fact, a friend of mine that I used to pray with in college, he went to the pregnancy center long before I ever did, and he said, here he was, a college guy, and he says, how can I help? And the director says, well, you can clean the toilets. Would you be willing to do that? And he did, and he later became president of one of the largest adoption agencies in the country. And I think that's how he got his start, by saying, I will clean toilets if that's what you want me to do, because I am interested in reaching out to these people in, who are facing this situation any way that I can. So I would just say, there are a lot of us who say we cannot, and instead we ought to just say, you know, Lord, I'm available. Send me, like Jeremiah did. But I mentioned at the top of the program, I told our board of directors before I came on board the two things I don't do, fundraising and speaking. And what do I do today? That's what I do, is I go out and speak. And I think, and that's the neat thing to me, is because when I go speak, I don't go thinking I'm God's gift to speaking. I just go out there and say, Lord, you're going to have to help me, because I get very nervous. And yet at the same time, I realize that this is something important. And if that's what he wants me to do, I darn sure better do it. And so that's what has helped me through this. And another thing, of course, we can do is help financially. And I want to throw out this number for any numbers geeks out there. If 1/5 of families who claim to be pro-life in the Gallup polls and all those kind of things, 1/5 either began giving or added to their current giving to a pregnancy center, $8.34 a month, the giving to these pregnancy centers all across America would go up by $1 billion, with a B, dollars, and that's an average of $400,000 per center in this country. Considering the fact that the average budget is about $267,000, adding $400,000 to those budgets would allow every one of them to be a thriving medical clinic, would give them all the funding necessary to be that first choice, to do the marketing that they need to do so that they can reach people through social media and other ways and be that first choice. Because one of the problems that centers have is that Planned Parenthood has $584 million of our tax dollars, and they use a lot of that to do the branding and be out there in the media and to hire the lobbyists to save them up in Washington and get more dollars. But here's the thing. Planned Parenthood's name is out there because they have the money. Give these centers the money. In fact, we'd be giving them twice the money, and these centers will be the first choice. So that's one thing we can do, and it's not expensive.
I love that. You know, maybe your place on the wall is become a donor. I mean, seriously, mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have an hour a week to give. I understand that, because when my kids were young, that I was always in a deficit on time. But
yes,
you can become a donor, and it is a significant part of the ministry. And Kirk, I would just want you to give the thumbnail sketch of where the dollars go. I mean, because a lot of the centers are volunteer driven.
Right.
They're getting a lot of work done on very little, but what they're able to offer people, to me, is what is so outstanding. Because first of all, it's not government money, so there aren't any government strings attached to it. So talk about where, you know, for people who do become donors, where the funding goes.
Well, that's exactly right, Kim. We're not out there begging for government dollars, because the people of God are supporting these centers. And the funding goes to so many different things. One of them is the ultrasound movement, which is where we're placing ultrasounds in these centers across the country. An ultrasound is $30,000 to $40,000, staffing it with medical professionals so that when a young lady comes in, she can actually see her child before she makes a decision regarding that pregnancy. Another move that I'm seeing, and of course we need some staff members. You know, the average Planned Parenthood director at these centers around the country is making well north of $150,000. I don't know many directors of pregnancy centers that are making that, but they do need to be paid, so a few dollars there. Other areas, marketing. And I'm also seeing a new movement with dads. We're bringing fathers into the center and offering fatherhood initiatives because, you know what, 83% of young ladies who end up at abortion centers say, you know, if the dad had been a little more involved and said and supported my decision, would have supported decision for life, I probably would have chosen life. But
so, for example, now, if you're talking about a fatherhood initiative, you need a professionally produced curriculum.
We do.
You need
the
space.
And I want somebody who's there. You know what I'd like to see, just being honest here? A lot of these, you mentioned the estrogen in the room at the centers. I would like for every center to be able to pay a head of household male whatever salary it takes for him to be there 40 hours a week so that any young man who walks in the door is going to be greeted by a guy who says, how you doing? And as the young lady goes back for her pregnancy test, he says, you know, I know you're wondering what's going to go on there. Come with me. I'll tell you exactly what's happening with your girlfriend right now, and we can walk through this together. That's my dream. That's a personal dream, and I know centers are beginning to move that direction. They're doing it with volunteers right now, but we need somebody there.
But there needs to be, right, and so there. But and for the meeting now, let's say we get three or four young guys, and okay, they're going to come to the fatherhood meeting tonight. We have to have a location. We have
That's
to have a location
right.
for all the meetings that happen. We have to have everything that a professional office location needs. We need letterhead. We need a copy machine. We need space,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And in fact, what I want for these centers, you hit the nail on the head. I want a young lady and a young man who walk into a pregnancy center, as soon as they go in the door, to take a deep breath and go, we're going to be okay because these people know what they're doing. They're not going to get that impression if we've got a third-hand couch and a couple of old chairs loaned to us or whatever by somebody who didn't need that office furniture anymore and we're fighting the stains on it. We need the very best we can find. And I'm not talking about opulence here, but I want everyone to walk in the door of a pregnancy center and immediately know, and this is how young people get their impressions. There are people who choose life simply because they walk into that lobby and they see a first-class business environment. And it's not only business-like, but it also has the warmth of home, of what they dream a home might be like.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can offer that, it's amazing. I've gone in some centers, you walk in there and say, man, this is really something. I mean, it's warm, earth tones, all those things. I've seen waterfalls coming down the walls, and you think, wow, that's expensive. It's really not, especially when you have a contractor who says, I'll donate it.
Sure,
and when
sure.
we do that, it changes everything.
And I think it's what you say, too, then it's the heart behind the people who are there. Our guest tonight is Kirk Walden. We did have one caller off the air, Kirk, who couldn't go on air, named Christine. Just wanted to thank you for all that you do. We still do have some copies of Kirk's book if you would like to join us. Our phones are open tonight at 800-811-3003. Short break, and we'll be back for our last segment. Last call for your chance to talk with Kirk Walden live tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
I don't know if you heard the news this week, but the Gosnell movie made their goal, and so that will become a docudrama on television. Phelan McAleer, who has been a guest on this program, and Ann McElhaney, also a guest, had put together their crowdsourcing at Indiegogo, raised over $2 million, the biggest project I think that Indiegogo has ever seen. And they got outstanding support from conservative media, just outstanding support. I heard about this movie a lot. And so now they're going to have the chance to make it. And I think they've launched a second phase for the campaign to try to beef up the marketing and get the word out there. They had this vision that they wanted this program to air on television. They wanted this movie to find you in the comfort of your living room to disquiet the comfortable, as the saying goes. And they didn't want it to be a feature film that people would have to seek out and get up and go to in the theater. They wanted it to come into your home, just like the news that it is and that it should have been, but never turned out to be. And so we'll keep you updated on that. But if you didn't hear that news, they reached their goal this week. The Gosnell movie will be airing at some point in the future. Tonight our guest is Kirk Walden. We were talking about Kirk's work to bring about a vision for the Wall of Hope, as he calls it, in his book, The Wall. And that's individuals like you and me building a culture of life, each one of us taking our place on the wall, as the people did of Israel when Nehemiah was rebuilding the broken down walls of Jerusalem, and putting in place a culture where no one would ever need to choose abortion, where it would become obsolete, and whether or not it would remain legal, no one would be choosing it because they would know there's some place to go for care and real help. And Kirk, I want to talk about the role that the pregnancy help movement is filling in building the culture of life, because there are things happening at the policy level, as we know, of course. There are things happening through the pregnancy centers to bring abstinence education into the public schools. What about the marketing piece? What about this, you know, the urgent need for more people to understand that the pregnancy help centers exist and that they're there offering this care that we've been talking about?
Well, that's huge, as you know. And what I want is for us to be the lead place people go on social media. I want them to hit their Bings and Googles and all those things. And if they're thinking about pregnancy or abortion or whatever it is in their town, the first name that pops up is a pregnancy center, because we are the place where a person can receive all of the information on all of their options. And I think one of the things that's been stolen from us is the word choice. When somebody says pro-choice, you and I both know what that means. However, think about the fact that those who offer only abortion, that's all they offer. There is no choice if you go into a Planned Parenthood. And in fact, I have had many places where I've been, and perhaps you have too, where they tell me at the pregnancy center that they get calls from clients who said, well, I was at Planned Parenthood, and I just really wasn't sure. In fact, I was telling them I was kind of leaning toward parenting my child, and they said, we really don't have anything for you here, so please go to the pregnancy center. Well, I believe there's some people at Planned Parenthood who are uncomfortable with what they do, and they are beginning to refer people to our centers. And that's an interesting thing, but the point here is that we do offer choice. If someone walks into a pregnancy center, they have five options, or anytime they're pregnant, they have five options. One is single parenting, another is co-parenting, a third is marriage, a fourth is adoption, and fifth is abortion. Not necessarily in that order, depends on the person and what the situation they're in. But they think that abortion is their only option. They call that choice. It's not. There are five options, and we offer to help walk someone through any of those first four. So we are actually the ones that offer choice, and we're beginning to rebrand ourselves in that vein so that people can understand that if they truly want choice, they go to a pregnancy center, even if they're thinking of abortion, because we're the only place where they can see their child and then make their decision. So I think we need to market that, let people know very clearly that if you're looking for choice, the only place to go is a pregnancy center. So
and,
if we can do that effectively, we'll be in good shape.
And I think it's important to mention that, as we've been talking about the fact that, you know, these are grassroots organizations that are doing their own fundraising. That's why they bring you in, to inspire people to become donors and to support the work that's being done. But the end game for people who come in is the services are free of charge.
Absolutely. They're, and I didn't even mention that. You're exactly right. Not one dime is going to be charged to a young lady or young man who come into the center. If you need mentoring support, it's free. If you need ultrasound, it's free. STI test, free. STD test, same thing, free. Everything is free. And, in fact, the center where I was, we offered 20 weeks of prenatal care at no charge. All the tests, all the prenatal vitamins, all those things were donated, and that center still continues to offer 20 weeks of prenatal care without charging the patient a dime. And that's what the body of Christ does. That's who we are. And I'm telling you, and you know this very well, our listeners do, people are attracted to that. When the body of Christ acts like the body of Christ, it attracts people. And I believe that's going to be the drive going forward that is going to turn this culture upside down. You know, the apostles were accused in Acts 17:6 of turning the world upside down with their message. I think we can do the same thing today, Kim. I really do.
Well, Kirk, I appreciate that. And we also had another caller off air who just wanted to say, affirm and encourage you and thank you for the work that you're doing. Carolyn, thank you for listening tonight and for calling. I know it's not always comfortable for everyone to go on the air. So we do appreciate that. And we know you're listening. And, of course, if you joined us a little bit late and you didn't hear the entire broadcast, just go to cradlemyheart.org next week, and we'll have the podcast posted so you can listen to it. And we also have links there to Kirk's organization so you can find out more about what he is doing and maybe sign up for his newsletter. I think it goes out to 2,000 centers. Kirk, your reach is pretty wide.
That's the last number I heard, but thank you, Kim. I mean, what you are doing and the hope you're providing and drawing people in is just amazing, and thank you. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
And really, I need to say this because, you know, our focus has been on this program, post-abortion healing, and that's how I became aware of the pregnancy health movement.
Yes.
In my wildest dreams, I never thought that the people who would welcome me and offer me healing and love and caring and acceptance would be people who are also trying to save women from making the choice of abortion. I imagined that they would hate me because I had chosen that. And that was just ignorance on my part. But if that's a barrier in your heart, if you're thinking, well, this all sounds lovely, but I already had an abortion and these people would never accept me, please, this is the place I want you to start. It is very counterintuitive, and yet so many of the people understand that when people choose abortion, there's some brokenness. Something broke in almost every case, whether it was the relationship or, you know, your faith in your birth control, whatever it was. And so there's compassion. This ministry and this outreach is an act of compassion, and that stands no matter what your circumstances and no matter what your choice has been. So I know you would say the same, Kirk.
Absolutely. And those who have been affected by abortion personally could be the very people who are most effective in reaching those who are struggling with this decision. It could be that God is going to take a tragic event from the past, a painful event from the past, and say, here's my opportunity to turn it to something great and to change lives in the future. So who knows what God might do when we let go and say, okay, I'm going to walk through the healing process. God has done amazing things through that. So, and every center has that for anyone who has faced a past abortion.
Thank you, Kirk. I appreciate that. And if you'd like to know about Kirk Walden's ministry, just go to cradlemyheart.org. You'll find links there. Thank you so much for joining us, Kirk. I hope you'll come back and see us in the future.
Thank you, Kim, and happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. God bless you. And please know that if you do feel a call to serve, you'll be trained. They need you. They would welcome you. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here next week. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for being with us here at Cradle My Heart Radio tonight.